Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene podcast.
Let's focus. We are the Post Credit Scene podcast, a 14 HQ original, lovers of film, TV, and theatre, and we're back in the studio for another special episode. Really excited for this one today because these are some of my favourite episodes because you don't really require too much thinking. Yeah. I know it sounds like maybe a bit silly for me to say, but you know, you can just talk about things that you've been watching over the last like couple of weeks, which is really enjoyable. And we ain't done one of these for a while. And we've got some special news coming out. We have a really big episode coming out after this one, which you need to check out. But firstly and foremost, we are back in the stew. I'm going to firstly introduce my fellow host, Jason. How are you, sir?
Oh good, man. Happy to be back. Mm. To pod.
I think this is the first time you've podded without Hoss for a while. I'm not saying that you like you need him, but I'm not saying that because it sounded shady.
What are you trying to say? We're trying to get into
you. No, because obviously the last couple of episodes it's been me, you, and Hoss.
It's always good to change up every now and again.
So you're podding with Manny. So yeah, let's.
I was gonna say this is the first time I've podded with Jason in a long. Might be the first time this year.
It is the first time this year.
Yeah, because we've been doing the trios, man. Yeah, the trios. Manny?
Yes, sir.
How'd you do, sir?
I'm all good, my guy, man. All feeling, I don't know, more upbeat now.
Because it was a good episode, to be fair. I'm really intrigued to know what you've been watching, which we'll get into, because I don't think we've spoken about it for a while. I know some of the shows you've been watching.
Yes.
I know some of the shows you've been watching. Potentially the greatest of all time.
Potentially the
greatest show of all time.
I'll say that.
But we've got a special guest. We've got a friend of the show, friend of mine.
Absolutely.
Someone who's been really, really pivotal within the sort of the Black creator sphere in the film and TV space. Round of applause and a big thank you to Kenken Reviews. Round of
applause. Thank you for having me.
How'd you do, good sir?
You know what? I'm good. Cracking on as we do.
Yes, sir. Busy guy.
Trying, man.
Yeah. Question for you before we start the episode. What we're going to do and make a habit of is asking people that come onto the show their Mount Rushmore of TV shows. So we get to know you through the shows you like, essentially. It's like an intro into your character.
Okay.
Before you answer, though, Kiz is going to be judging you because he's going to want a certain...
I already know. I'm laughing because I know what he's going to say.
Give us your Mount Rushmore of TV shows.
The Originals, The Wire, Angel. What was the last one I said?
Angel's in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah. Fair enough.
Bad Boy Show. What was the last one I said?
Penguin.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't actually know you loved the Penguin that much, though.
No.
You think Penguin it's a bit of a recency bias thing? Like, you really...
He said, nah.
No. I don't suffer from that stuff, though.
No, that's fair. Like,
Penguin is a... He said. I hear it.
Any thoughts on his Mount Rushmore, fellas?
Do you know what? Because I was there when he mentioned him earlier. I was surprised to hear Angel and The Originals.
I'm still am to this day.
I'm surprised to hear The Penguin, to be fair.
But I'm not like against.
I'm not mad at it. Like, Angel is the one I'm least like.
You'd watch it, yeah?
I really enjoyed Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I enjoyed the spin-off Angel as well. I don't know. I just like, you know, when people say they like a show and then you compare it to another show that's quite similar, and then you don't really get it. Why? Because there's another show that does the same thing, does it better. Angel's quite unique in the way that I can't remember much of it, so I'm not going to try to deep dive into it because it's been years since I watched it. But I just remember watching it feeling like this show is quite unique in the way they're approaching it. Because it was mainly about the guy that was evil, right? Was it not?
About Angel.
He had an investigation business.
Who was
and
the
then they had a corporation, the evil Spike. Corporation you're thinking of.
Maybe. I just remember like really enjoying like the
aspect of it. Evil corporation, I remember that.
But yeah, so when people pick like TV shows where it's not necessarily comparable to other TV shows, I get it because it's giving you something unique that other shows haven't given you.
It didn't feel like a spin-off as well.
Fair enough.
It felt quite original.
Before we get going, and I ask Manny about his favourite show of all time, but I'm joking. But one of his favourite shows of all time. It would only be right for us to start off with you, Ken. This is an episode where we sort of have a catch-up from the shows and the films we've watched over the like last 2 weeks or so. Mm. It gives everyone an opportunity to get to know some new shows if they haven't started those already. So if you want to pick out something you've watched in the last few weeks and just give us a bit of a spiel as to why you liked it, what it's about, etc., etc., that'd be a great way to start the episode.
Invincible.
Jeez. So, Manny, you're up to date as well?
Yeah.
So you two can crack on. Right. Talk to us. How are you finding season three?
How up to date are you?
I've watched the episode that came out on Thursday.
Okay, I've seen all of it.
Oh, from the whole Amazon. Yeah. Okay. So how many episodes is it this season?
8.
How many episodes have been released? 6?
6.
So 2 left. Yeah. Okay, go on.
And those 2?
Insane.
Crazy. You seen the way the last one ends?
Yes.
Yeah, it goes off from there. And then there's that, no spoilers, but that anticipated character.
I can't wait.
Everyone can't wait. You watched it as well?
I know what's going to happen. I can't wait.
Bro?
What, from the comics you're talking about?
Yeah.
From the comics.
Yeah.
My man with a hand, let me say that. Calm.
I've been spoiled about a few things based on the
comics. What is it?
No, yeah. It's like, nothing. It's mainly about one of the Vitramites. I don't want to say it. Something about Vitramites and something to do with Mark. I'll leave it at that.
It goes off.
What got you into the show originally, out of interest?
Blood, man. I heard there's a cartoon with blood coming out.
that's all you needed.
He's like, that's all I needed.
That's all you need.
And I heard quite how dark it was. I think...
Yeah.
I think The Boys came out before Invincible.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. So off the back of The Boys, when they announced, yo, this thing's coming out as well, yeah. Signed straight up.
I think Invincible and The Boys coming out during the period that did, I think it also...
during the pandemic, I think, as well, so it came out.
Yeah.
Invincibles did.
But I think, yeah. I think The Boys 2019? Am I bugging? Mm. But even so, not necessarily like period in terms of like the year, but during like essentially on the back of the end of Marvel's
Phase 3.
And then getting to, I want to say like around the start of Phase 4, it was like starting the peak of people feeling like they're getting superhero fatigue and the same like, same type of superhero films and TV shows, however you want to put it. And I feel like The Boys and Invincible are kind of anti-superhero shows. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting for them to gain popularity and blow up around that period as well. I wonder how well those shows would have done if it would have come out like 5, 6, 7 years ago. Would people given it as much of a chance if we didn't get the run that we got from the MCU and also a few of the DC films? But yeah, just an interesting aspect to look
would
at.
Would you say The Boys and Invincible opened Marvel's eyes to say, yo, you can go R-rated?
I don't know, because what have they done that's R-rated apart from Deadpool?
Deadpool, Wolverine, Echo.
Was Echo R-rated?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, yes, TVMA, so it's R-rated.
Yeah, but that's after the fact.
Yeah, that's after. Yeah. So at the time, I think Deadpool 1 was probably out.
The Boys season 1, 2019. Yeah. And then Invincible season 1, 2021.
Yeah, so Echo and both things came out after.
Yeah, they came out. I know Deadpool 1 definitely came out before The Boys.
No, sorry, I was just talking about the third.
Because
Deadpool Wolverine is a Marvel thing. It's not under the control of.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Of 20th century.
Deadpool 1 was fucked.
2016.
That was a fuck.
I don't think it made a difference. Because I think Deadpool was always going to be R-rated regardless.
Ryan Reynolds was always going to make it. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
interesting hearing about Echo though. Surprised that was. An R-rated film. I see TV show. Sorry.
Daredevil R-rated.
I believe it's
going to
be.
But I think that was going to. Was not going to be regardless.
It was.
Yeah, I think that was going to be regardless. I think it's just
they couldn't.
Even stuff like Moon Knight.
That should have been.
Yeah, that should have been. And I feel like there's some TV shows and films, the characters give you that feel like they have to be like that film. I think Moonlight could have been a lot more. I think that could have been.
Should have been
a lot more dark.
You got Oscar Isaac, bro.
Yeah,
he's a really good actor. Invincible. I need to catch up, but I'm really looking forward to doing so. I'm quite behind on it. And Ken's been like onto me saying you need to watch.
I think this has been my favorite season so far.
Really?
For Invincible. Yeah.
Interesting. What have you enjoyed about it?
I feel like the building of themes in this season has been the best so far. Looking into Mark's essential hypocrisy in terms of him never looking into the grey area and everything's in black and white, but ignores, like, he doesn't want to give criminals grace, but he constantly gives himself grace. He wants to give his dad grace. And he always say, oh, this is different, that is different. And then you got his brother, Oliver, that kind of contrasts his thinking in terms of when Mark was telling his brother, we can't kill, but you killed my guy at the end of season 3, but that was different. Why was that different? And also Mark is having this issue with Cecil in terms of Cecil's using criminals to do Hero's work, and Mark is really fumed about that, thinking
putting them through rehab, basically.
Yeah, putting them through rehab, but Mark feels like all of them should be in prison. Mm. But then Cecil's like, okay, but you've done stuff, and you're how you're living, so why should you get grace? And then this my guy's character, oh my gosh, great Breaking Bad.
Oh,
he does. Aaron Paul, he had
Electric Dude, didn't
it? Yeah, Power something, I can't remember. He had an episode, the latest episode. He was essentially the lead of it. What a performance! What an episode! And it just highlighted the contradiction that Mark holds. And I think that's what the themes of the season to be holding. I've been building up, and I'm assuming by the end of the season, it has to Mark has to deal with it. Mm. He has to realize that not everything is black and white. There are gray areas, and now it's just. He has to let go of this guilt that he has because
he's still a young boy, right?
Yeah, he's like 19, 20 at this point.
It's an interesting age for him to be going through those sort of issues that you'd think are more adult problems to deal with, even in the superhero sphere.
And for him, it really got thrust onto him out of nowhere. And everything's happened. It's been 1 year, like from when his dad exposed himself as a Viltrumite, killed all those thousands of people in Chicago, to the latest episode was like the 1 year anniversary of those deaths. And he's also you're still human, like still part of human. He's still grieving. So it's really interesting the way that they're building themes. And I get a lot of people don't like Mark because he just keeps doing dumb shit. But I get why he's doing all the decisions that he's making. It's because he doesn't know what to do. He's still a child to an extent, and he's in a situation he's never been before. So I'm really enjoying this season.
Haven't you found him to be more virtual, right, this season, like aggressive?
Yes.
Not holding back.
I think more emotional, not necessarily more Viltrumite. More, he's using his strengths a lot more, but it's more so based on his human emotion rather than his attempt to, I'm better than everybody else based on my strength and power. That's what Oliver's doing, though. Oliver's had quite a few of those scenes in terms of, I am Viltrumite, I have all these powers. These people are essentially ants to me. He hasn't said it specific, but he's touched on that and even had a conversation with his mom. And she's like, but I'm only human, so do you see me in that way too? He's like, no, I love you. That's cool, but all these other people are human too. They don't deserve to not be treated the way that you want to treat them. So
we have to remember as well that Oliver Kidd has zero human in him.
Yeah, he's still very much a child.
Whole alien.
Man. And I think what the show is leading up to, obviously you've seen the last episode, I haven't. I'm assuming it's going to be confrontation between Oliver and Mark. Not necessarily just on a physical and fighting sense, but also the difference in psychology that they're to have and in philosophy even, should I say, in terms of how to treat human beings, because Oliver is way more Viltrumite than Mark is. Interesting.
I think the most interesting... I don't think every superhero project needs to have depth or maybe have a philosophical debate about whatever the current topic is within that specific sphere. But some of my personal favourite ones are where there's two contradicting opinions or sort of contradicting philosophies on life. We spoke about Winter Soldier, for example, Civil War, Invincible from what you guys are describing here, Daredevil, the three seasons of that series. Yeah. Those are some of my personal favourite. And I can watch a superhero project and just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
I can do that. But my favourites are when there's something to really...
When it's like an extra, there's an extra layer to it that you can appreciate. Yeah.
I really enjoy those. I'm gonna dive into Invincible. Guys, make sure you do so as well if you haven't done so. It's a series that's really, really well sort of commended by these two gentlemen here. So make sure to do so.
Amazon Prime.
Manny.
Yes, sir.
You can go off.
Oh, absolutely.
You are probably one of the biggest Severance fans I know. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a task. We're going to sell Severance to Ken. Ken does plan to watch it.
You have not watched Severance?
Wow.
So from what I've gathered, and I don't want to speak for him, he's told me that he plans to at some point.
Okay.
But our job is to convince Ken through our conversation of this specific episode and maybe season two.
Okay.
Which I think is a step up from season one.
Oh, yeah. And season one is great.
Season one's great.
Season one is probably my favourite first season of a TV show. Season one of Severance.
Thing again.
what did I say about it? I said Penguin's one of them as well. Penguin, Severance, Westworld.
Westworld is really loved.
I think I can't think of any right now, but those are like one of my favourites.
Kids, any thoughts?
True Detective season one.
I haven't watched True Detective. Prison Break.
Oh my days. Oh my God. True Detective.
But Prison Break as well. I really enjoy it. Prison Break.
Prison Break, not really. Yeah. No.
But Severance, True Detective, The Penguin, Westworld, maybe Lost as well, but I hate Lost so much I don't like speaking about it.
You hate how it ended, right?
Brother.
I've never gotten into Lost.
Huh?
You're watching it from?
from?
So same makers of Lost.
Oh, no, I haven't watched it. What they did in the last 2-3 seasons, I can't.
You like, got no trust in them.
It felt like a waste of time. I don't think I've ever finished watching a show and felt like it was a waste of time. And that's for my Lost. It was in 2012, during the Olympics. I used to do a night shift. I used to come home at like 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, bang out Lost for like until like 6-7 o'clock and go to sleep. And then when I eventually finished it, it's like, bro,
all that grinding, like all, a waste
all
of
that
time.
Grinding for what, bro?
A waste of time.
By the way, Severance.
Yeah.
The first season, one of my favorite seasons of.
What's the premise of the series?
So the premise is kind of straightforward. So there's in America, there's a company called Lumen that they give you the opportunity to sever yourself. So essentially split your memories into two. So essentially turn into two different people within the same body. So you get to go into work for 8 hours, but you won't have any memories of going into work. So essentially you walk in and you walk back out, but you have a job. So you get severed into somebody else, and that person is his own person within that world, within that job. Like for example, say you work in a factory, you go into the factory, you can become a completely other person. The other person does the job for you and they come back out.
Put it this way, if you went to work, you'd be Mark. Mm. And as soon as you left, you could be like Ken Reviews. Mm. Yeah. But you still...
I did not know that's what the show's about.
That's the original premise.
I've purposely stayed away from what it's about. I've just been seeing the hype. So that sold it.
Any reason why you were trying to stay away from it? Because
I've heard it's good.
Oh, okay, cool.
You didn't want like, any sort of spoilers?
Yeah. Sort of spoilers, first.
When I tell people I haven't seen Severance, they don't talk about it. If I tell them, like, yeah, I've heard, they'll start going off and I'll... Yeah.
It's like, there's not a single aspect, especially more in season 2, there's not a single aspect I can think of in terms of, like, making a TV show that Severance doesn't do at a high level, from the casting... Mm-hmm. To the technical aspect of the cinematography, the setup design, costume design, even the feel of the town that they're in, the relationship that each characters have with each other, not only within working in Lumen but also outside of Lumen, the amount of mysteries that's in it, the amount of foreshadowing. There's even like little nuggets of crumbs that they give you in terms of like trying to figure out what could be next. So many theories that people come up with. Some theories became to be true, some were just completely wrong, but that's the fun of it. That's what I love.
I think that's probably one of his best aspects, like the fact that they're able to create conversation around, like just off the cuff, like, because literally just before I came here on TikTok, like I just saw a video of like the two types of Severance fans.
Yeah. The two types of theories,
like Severance fans theories, and then one was like this, like, oh yeah, like let's look at the numbers, let's do all this like hexagonal stuff, and then the other one is kind of like this very kind of like Watch Mojo-esque, like, did you know that in, and I was just like, fucking hell, the fact that I fall into both categories. And
same. I enjoy both so, bits so of content.
So good.
Like I love the aspect, like, so there's one scene in Severance where, so essentially when they do work, they put numbers in a box. That sounds weird. When you watch it, it's not gonna make any more sense. Huh. It's still gonna be weird. But there's one scene where somebody's having a dream, and then somebody clocked. Let's say it work. I don't want to say too much because spoilers. Let's say it work. Yeah. And somebody clocked all the numbers that were on there, and they paused it and they realized that all these numbers make up a word, and then went and figured out what a word was, which is essentially foreshadowing something that might be potentially happening. That level of theory crafting and detail is what I love about shows. I love that. I loved it in Black Mirror. I love it in music. I love it in manga. I love it in One Piece. Was one of my favorite TV shows, because you're able to not just enjoy the show at a level of this is a great performance and this is a great story, but also there's so much layers and so detailed that it just gives me the feel of you guys really care about your craft. You guys are really putting your all in, putting so much time into it to make. And also, you're not treating the fans as idiots. You're not.
Yes.
You're not.
Oh my god.
You might be leading them to the world, but you're not forcing them to drink it. So you don't have to consume Severance in a way that some other people do. But there's also an extra added layer. If you do enjoy that kind of stuff, then you can do it. But it's still simple enough that you can just enjoy the story for itself. Yeah. And there is just added layers. But yeah, I haven't felt this way about a show maybe ever in my life. Like, I remember the closest thing in recent years was probably Succession. And I've been on record saying that Succession is probably in my top five at this point, because I actually love that show.
We need to watch it back as well.
I'm so excited. I'm really looking forward to watching it back.
There's bare shit we would have missed.
I think about watching it back so many times. It's like, I'm actually like really excited to watch it back.
You have to dedicate like
every time, because I actually want to take my time with it. And Severance, to me, is better than Succession. And I know it's five versus one and a half season. But the quality in season two and the latest episode that dropped, one of the best episodes of TV that I've had, probably my favorite episode on Severance, even episode four, like the reveal or something that people have predicted for quite a while, and even just the way that they've done it, it's just so impressive. It's just one of the type of shows that...
It's not finished, is it?
It's not finished. Like, see, season two still got like two more episodes left.
Yeah.
And they already like kind of already know what they're going to do with season three and four. I don't know how long it's going to last for, but I can't imagine going past five seasons.
I can't imagine it going past four, you know?
Yeah, maybe. But it's a great show. And the only thing that... It's not gonna. The only reason why it will not make my top five if they don't stick the landing, and I just cannot see that them not doing it. They've been too detailed and they've done too much work, and it's just worked really well so far. But yeah,
it happened before.
But all the other shows I can think of, like Lost, like the issue with Lost is that after like season two and three, they started freestyling. They didn't really have a plan.
I think to be honest.
But the issue with Game of Thrones isn't the actual text of the show, It's because the two directors just didn't want to put the effort into it, and also George R.R. didn't have any more of the books for them to like.
That could happen with.
But the method that they were doing with Game of Thrones in terms of like using the books is not the same, because the people that are writing it, they're still writing it. It's not like George R.R. Smith was not George R.R. Smith. George R.R. Martin was in the writers room writing the story from scratch with the people that were there. They were using his material. To create the show. They no longer had material, so they had to do it off the top of their head and with, like, I'm assuming, like, bullet points of what the story might end up being, which I actually don't think that was actually how the story is going to end.
I'm scared with all these shows, man.
I mean, it's fair, because it happens loads, but I have faith in Severance the same way I have faith in One Piece. Like, it's going to end well. Fair. Sorry, yes, I went on for a time.
You did.
I'm sold, man.
Episode 7. Without spoiling it, it's probably, from like an artistic perspective, like one of the great episodes I've seen this year, at least anyway. And I've watched quite a bit of TV, so I think I can get that off. Jessica Lee Gagne is a DP, cinematographer. And she got approached in season one to direct an episode, and she said no, she didn't think she was ready. She didn't think that the text that was on offer to her was anything that she wanted to sort of dive into from a directorial perspective. Fast forward to season two, she saw episode 7 script, and she said, yeah, I can see myself directing this, especially due to fact, I guess, the story of episode 7, which kind of dives into some backstory and offers you context to the characters as they are today and allows you to see their past, which I think was beautifully sort of crafted and depicted from a visual perspective. It takes a lot of risks. It does a lot of things that I haven't necessarily seen on screen before, alongside the acting cast who deliver like superb acting performances, especially Daichen Lachman. And she's Australian. She plays Gemma in the series. A very important character who we don't know much about per se until this episode. And it was beautifully handled. I love Severance. I think until this episode, my one critique was, I like these characters. I don't care about them enough. And I think episode 7 has somewhat shifted me towards having a invested interest in who these characters are. Because for me, with TV, with films, I don't care about that as much, about caring about the character, because you don't spend much time with them. It's 2 hours and a bit, and then you're gone. Whereas with a TV show, it's probably like bare minimum now 8 hours of your time dedicated to getting to know these people. And with Severance, I liked a lot of the characters. I love Dylan. I love Milchek. Really interested by Miss Cobell, really interested by Helena Egan, the outside version of,
yeah.
Really interested by her. But there's so many interesting characters, but I don't care. And I think this episode made me like really invested in Gemma and Mark specifically. I would love to even know more now about sort of like Milchek and so on and so forth. What they've done with Dylan this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've made me really interested in him as well. There's some really interesting characters, great acting performances from a sort of artistic perspective, as Manny said. Beautifully crafted.
What does Ben Stiller have to do?
He's like the director.
He's the creator. creator of the show.
The comedian one.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he's, so he's definitely a producer, and he directed the first kind of like season majority of it anyway, as far as I know.
Yeah. No, Dan Erickson's the show creator, and then yeah. I think he's
definitely a director. Yeah, I think he's one of the producers as well. Yeah, I don't think he's credited as as a writer or a creator on it.
No,
Dan Erickson. Dan Erickson.
Yeah, I think because he's the most recognizable face, so
he bought the money. He bought the money in this first as well for the series.
They've written him down here as the primary director and one of the executive producers.
Dan Erickson would have been creator.
And it's the same Ben Stiller you're thinking of.
Yeah, okay.
Which a lot of people are surprised by. I think you said it last episode, right? You were surprised.
I couldn't believe that when I saw his name.
Yeah, legit. When I saw that first time.
There's something that I'll never forget. I remember Breaking Bad, the creator for Breaking Bad, said that for the most part, all the main leads are comedians. And he's mentioned that how he feels like comedians are the best actors. And ever since then, I keep an eye out for that.
Adam Sandler has like a direct quote about it, where it's just like, look, if you can do comedy,
you can do anything.
And then it's just like, okay. At first, you would think, what the fuck is this thing you're talking about? But like, you look at most comedian actors, like even Matthew McConaughey, for example, like he started off in
a fucking good actor
and stuff like
Robin
that.
Robin Williams,
like
Matthew McConaughey is fucking good, and he makes a good steak as well. And that's random, but you know,
he did make a good steak.
He knows how to make a good steak.
But legit, like there's so many like
it's bare random. I saw it on a TikTok, and he
was, I know what.
Okay, best.
He was chefing up, man. Made me hungry.
You had some or something.
You know when you can just tell. Okay. Come on, man.
But then again, he's from Texas or something.
You asked if you had any of Matthew's meat, bro.
You didn't expect somebody from Texas.
Yeah, no, I didn't ask. You yeah, asshole. Fuck you. Jason, what was you saying, pal? Texas, yeah.
Yeah, I was just saying from Texas.
Severance is definitely one of those shows. It'll be interesting to see how it trans. I'm not ready to put it in my, like, anything yet, but I can see where it's heading towards being there.
Yeah.
Just through the first season and 7 episodes or so. It's fucking good show. Jace?
Oh, what? On Severance?
Up to you, pal. You on can talk Severance. I mean, you can talk you about something like, else.
No. So, I mean, one thing that we haven't even spoken about, and I don't think it's one of the things that we often mention, but like, you see like how HBO just got shows and shows and shows, right? And I feel like with every era of HBO, they have like that one show that is really, really good. But like, because they've got so much other good stuff that they've got going on, it kind of like gets a little bit forgotten. And I think White Lotus season 3 is one of them. And season 3 came out recently. There are only 2 episodes out at the moment. But just real quick on White Lotus. The show is a bit of an anthology series in the sense that it follows a set of characters that go to the White Lotus Hotel, which is a hotel chain that's kind of like all across the world.
What's the resort?
Okay. And like these really, really nice places. Like, so the first season takes place in Hawaii. Second season is in Italy, and now the third season is in Thailand, and it just follows a collection of characters, and there is always something fucked going on with those selections.
What, those characters are going to these different hotels?
Not at the same time.
There may be one character that will bounce from a season to season,
exactly.
But it's always a collection of new characters.
Oh. Is it always a collection of new characters? Exactly, as Kizza said, like there's a collection of new characters, but then there will be one character per season that will jump from one of the resort chains to the other, just for a bit of a recognizable face, if that makes sense. But it kind of like it plays like, what makes the show so good is the fact that it focuses on themes. Like each season has a particular theme that I will play on, and it's always kind of like, you know, these, I don't know, like it was a theory that I was working on just because I was in one of them days. But like each season, it feels like it focuses on a particular sin, if that makes sense.
How did I know you were going to say that? I haven't watched it. In my head, I was thinking they're probably going to do 7 seasons.
That's what I was thinking as well.
Oh my God, that's actually... Wow, I didn't even think about
that. It just feels like it focuses on a particular sin, and like each character kind of like display aspect of that. And it's... written beautifully, it's acted beautifully as well. Like, so every season kind of like has this one kind of like recognizable actor. I mean, first season had like Sydney Sweeney, for example. Second season had Aubrey Plaza
and my man from Sopranos, what's his name?
Christopher his name wasn't Vinny in Sopranos.
Hold on, I'm gonna take it right now.
But yeah, guy from Sopranos. And this season, the most recognizable actors to me anyway are Walton Goggins and Jason Isaac, who I didn't know was Mifo's dad. So, he looks so different.
It's Christopher Malti. No, it's Michael Imperioli. I think they pronounce it. The guy who plays Christopher in Sopranos.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but
good character.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like hard to tell you what the show is about because like each season feels crafted so personally to the characters, and it's one of those things where it's just like if you like good character stories, it's something I would 100% recommend. It's beautifully shot. Like, I mean, it helps when each place that they go to is just stunning.
It's the resort. Visually,
the resorts are absolutely beautiful, and I think Thailand so far is the most beautifully shot place. Like the kind of like the quote unquote like rainforesty jungle aspects of it all, and then just the location where it's in, and like this season as well. Like for me, anyway, like the particular sin, quote unquote, it feels like it's touching on this kind of like sin of greed.
Yeah, no, I agree with
that. Of, and. I just can't recommend it enough. If you guys like, if you guys love kind of like character writing and kind of like themes in terms of like the wider story of what something is behind it, I would 100% recommend White Lotus, man.
From the posters I've seen, it was given Blink Twice.
It's given Blink Twice in the sense of like from an aesthetics point. I wouldn't necessarily say in terms of themes or any of that. Like, I would say it's actually quite far from it in that sense. But it does, like, if you like the look of Blink Twice, you'll like the look of season 3. And the good thing is, it's like, you don't have to watch. Like, you can just jump in at any point.
I would disagree with that.
You think?
No, I think there's even a fan theory going on that there's an underlining storyline that's connecting. Because, like, a character from this season... it's from the first season, and there's already like theories towards why is he here now. So I would disagree with that.
I don't know. Because
who's the character?
The one I'm on about is the bald guy that meets with Walter Goggins.
Yes,
from season one.
Yeah, from season one and two as well.
So he's been going throughout.
Yeah, he's been going throughout. Yeah, so there's one recurring character, but I would probably kind of like push back against it because. While sure, like it's one of those things that's like if you want to get a little bit extra meat from that, it's great. But like anyway, moving on, like throughout the entire show, like again, similar to I guess how Manny was saying with Severance, it's like it's got a lot for everyone in a sense. Like if you just want to kind of like watch it as to watch it, you'll get a lot out of it. But if you are into the whole theory aspect and want to dive a little bit more and be a little more investigative, like do start from the beginning, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's that deep in my opinion. So yeah, if you want to jump into season 3 because there's 2 episodes out right now, do so and then check out the other seasons later. But I think it's a great binge as well because like it starts off quite slow, but it ramps up to kind of like this big crescendo, and like it's one of those things where it's just like you have to sit in and enjoy the ride. Like it will start off slow and you're thinking where the hell is this going, but the payoff is always worth it in my opinion. And
it's not long as well, like the episodes are only like between 6 and 7 episodes.
And episodes per season, and
hour long episodes
as well. So definitely would recommend. It's on Sky. Episodes are every Monday, I want to say.
Yeah, Monday.
There you go.
Cool.
Good.
Cool.
That's another thing that shocks me with Invincible. They're hour long.
Yeah.
Or animation, that's, get me, different.
Yeah.
You don't get that.
Doesn't feel like an hour either.
Yeah.
Cool. I've been watching, which as I say, don't like to do, 1,000 Blows.
Nice.
Uh-huh. Created by Stephen Knight, who is the creator of Peaky Blinders. Ken, you've seen it as well?
I haven't finished it though.
Okay, cool. I'll go into the series without spoiling it. Firstly, really interesting sort of team behind the series. As I said, Stephen Knight, who created Peaky Blinders, Ashley Waters as well, is an exec producer. Cast is very impressive. Anything with Stephen Graham, I'm there. With Stephen Graham, I will watch it. I think he's one of the greats from sort of this era of TV and film, and as a Brit as well. So Stephen Graham, Erin Doherty, Malachi Kirby, and Francis Lovell. And it follows these two young men from who travel from Jamaica into London, Victoria and England in the 1880s. And they arrive with sort of plans to change their lives. As you tend to see that sort of story told.
Shoreditch.
And it sort of dives into their difficulty in navigating this world where they get thrown into the sort of bare knuckle boxing scene that's existing in that specific time. And they have to navigate that against a man called Sugar Goodson, played by Stephen Graham, who's sort of he's the governor of bare knuckle boxing. And what we tend to see, or what we find in the series, is there's sort of like different realms of and classes within London Victorian era, as you'd expect. Bare knuckle boxing scene is seen as like a lower class sport. It's not legal either. And then we have sort of what we tend to see in today's world is the professional boxing scene where people are using gloves and it's sort of officiated. And we get to see how boxing is sort of used as a form to manipulate and take advantage of the poor, and it shows us the class divide as well, which is really, really well told within the span of 6 episodes. I think the acting performances were phenomenal, firstly. Having seen all the 6 episodes, Malachi Kirby's a BAFTA winner, and he was so, so impressive, even to the accents, because obviously, as a London-born Jamaican, I believe he's London-born, and if I'm incorrect, feel free to correct me, perfecting that sort of Jamaican accent, as in you're fresh to the country, is really, really tough. Yeah. I think he said he spent time in Jamaica.
Yeah.
Beforehand, just immersing himself in the country and the music, just to get a real feel of being in the warmth, being in Jamaica, and then coming into the cold. So as soon as he finished his time in holiday in Jamaica with Alex Lovell, he came back to London to film, to feel the difference, so he can depict that in the scenes, which was really, really impressive. He was really good. Erin Doherty plays this really sort of imperious, dominant woman called... Mary Carr, she's the queen of the 40 Elephants, which is like this infamous gang of women who you don't want to mess with. And you actually believe them in the series. I don't know if you agree, Ken.
Yeah, they're
like,
smokies.
Like, you believe that they're on smoke, from the accents to the way they maneuver and the sort of cleverness. Some of it was a bit on the nose in the first episode. It was a bit like, we're going to show you them doing certain things. Do you remember that?
What, the pregnancy you're talking about?
Yeah, that opening, yeah. But it allows you to get to know who these people are. Set design impeccable. Luckily got to visit the set design, and you can see the amount of effort that was put into creating the set, and to the point where every single, I think Stephen Graham said, every single sort of brick was painted by the production designers to make sure that you get the feel of the London Victorian era. So when it rained, you could literally feel like the grittiness of that particular time, and how cold it would have been, and how dirty it would have been, how gritty, as Ken described earlier. Stephen Graham.
Shout out Chan. Chan's in there as well. My bridge and Chan.
Yeah. Stephen Graham is superb in the series. And I just love, beyond obviously the boxing stuff, which we probably get less of than you'd think, it sort of ramps up towards the end of the series. I guess the heart of the series is the emotional connection between certain characters, interesting sort of love triangles, emotive feelings towards friendships, love. And I really, really enjoyed the look into the class divide, which you get to see with Sugar Goodson sort of on one side of it. And then there's another sort of realm that he's completely up against and sort of detests, if you like. And it creates really interesting dynamics between the characters. So,
quick question, just because it's focused in Victorian times and whatnot, and it focuses like a central black character, does it also delve into like what you'd expect the racism to be and whatnot? Or
it does, in a sense where I think it does it really well, actually, because it could be very on the nose and make
you
think
what I was thinking.
Every single conversation is you this, you that. Some of it is more like characters intrigued by him.
Okay.
But then he does also face...
most of that is flashbacks as well.
Okay.
But he does also face, like, you know, him and his friend Alec do face racial difficulties as well.
Yeah, no, because I feel like those sort of things is a bit of a tricky thing, because you don't want to make it, like, so overt where it's just, like, you expect them to be every 24 seconds, but you don't want to make it, like, everyone's buddy-buddy.
Cause no.
That's how we know that...
No, the series definitely addresses those issues. And I think Ashley Waters being an assumption... Big assumption, and I think one of the writers as well is a black woman. You can see that there would have been their influence to make sure that that's handled with the right care.
Okay.
Because you could go over the top and make it a bit too on the nose, but you could also completely neglect it, which would feel incorrect and unauthentic for that particular time period.
And racial stuff is not just black people. They really even it out, should I say.
Okay.
Racism for everybody.
Equality, man. DEI.
DEI for racism is crazy.
Yeah, there is a Yasmin Joseph, I think you're thinking
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ken, what were your thoughts? I know I did a bit of a rabbit hole dive.
So far, I've enjoyed it. I feel like I know the direction it's going in, but they do throw a lot of curveballs, like this whole big heist that's apparently coming up. And like you said, the boxing parts kind of take a back seat through the middle. I don't know how much it comes back in the end, but 40 Elephants is really selling that show, man.
Yeah, the Queen of the 40 Elephants as a gang are quite notorious. Yeah. And that's based on real people as well. So Mary Carr's a real character. Hezekiah Mosko, played by Malachi Kirby, is a real character as well. And Sugar Goodson, I believe, is also a real person. Yeah. So it's sort of based off. Season 2's already been filmed.
Okay,
so they filmed it back. They filmed it back to back. They filmed it back to back. So they're probably ready to sort of start maybe editing the episode. Shall I say? I would expect it to be like a next year sort of release, and it's got a good reception from critics.
Yeah.
So the series has done really well. I'm looking forward to seeing season 2. My only critique of the series is it's a 6-episode series. So my biggest critique is I don't mind short. It's fine to say. I don't mind short. I had to double check. I don't mind short, but ensure the pacing makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there was some weird sort of time jumps and character relationships, which I didn't fully buy into because of the time jumps. And I think 4 more episodes, 8 to 10 episodes would have been better. But I think the issue is as well is it is a bit of a slow paced series. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why, in terms of when it was edited, which I think would have been the issue here, they felt like they needed to ramp the pacing up in terms of timeline because of how slow paced it is at times, especially the first 2 episodes, which is, I've seen a critique from some people saying they think it's a bit too slow. And I get that. I love those type of shows, innit? So that's my bag, but I can get where people don't feel the same way. Ken, we'll go back to you, pal. Mm. You've seen The Gorge.
Yes.
And so has Manny. So you two can tell us why you liked it and why you didn't, because I'm really intrigued. It's got a really interesting sort of cast. Premise sounds interesting as well. But I've seen mixed reviews. I've seen some people that have really enjoyed the series, some people less so. Let us know your thoughts. We'll start with you, Ken, and then Manny, you can dovetail off him and, you know.
I like the film. Mm-hmm. I think people are upset because of the marketing.
Just kind of like real quick, what's the premise?
So the premise is The Gorge is a space that's holding some sort of being or things out from the world. Mm. These two characters are tasked with keeping those things in without letting them out. And The Gorge is just literally a gorge, big space. There's 2 towers. One person on that side, one person on that side, make sure everything stays in.
Okay.
You're not allowed to talk to each other. The job is for a year. And these two break the rules and start talking.
So just real quick, when you say these things, is it like aliens or are we talking more like fantastical beasts, if that makes sense?
You want us to dive in?
Mutations.
You want us to dive in, kind of thing? Spoilers?
I will watch it, but I don't mind spoilers.
So, they're mutations.
Okay.
Some government experiment gone wrong. And they're trying to keep them. Yeah, it's always the government, man.
It's always the government.
It's always the government, man.
Been showing us in film, we're ignoring it. It's always the government. But yeah, no, I like the film, man. I like the film. It came out on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So the romance in the film, I think, is the best part of the film. Because I found the action quite minimal.
Yeah.
They did these little digs of referencing Whiplash, which is Miles Teller's film.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Kids is perked up.
This is interesting.
How would that reference that? Because Whiplash is...
They put him on the drums.
Oh, no
way. This kind of setting that I just described. Imagine him just on drums, just out of nowhere. They did one for Anya Taylor as well. I can't remember what film it was, though.
What's the reference for Anya Taylor?
I can't remember, but I know it was a thing.
Was it Blue Chess?
Ooh,
because she was in a.
Yes, it is. Yes, and they're doing this from, like I said, across the gorge. Mm. So a lot of the communication is silent. They're writing on notes.
Mm.
It makes it quite you know, wholesome. These two are connecting from a distance. Yeah. Before you know it, they're swinging across for dates and shit. And yeah, I liked it. I liked it.
Yeah, I think it was cool. I get why there's a mixed review, because it's a film that tries to do quite a lot.
Hmm.
It's
do you respect the ambition?
I do. I do like the concept of the film.
I think they tried too many things.
I think that's the issue, because it's a sci-fi, it's a action film, it's a thriller, and it's a romance as well. Yeah. Wouldn't call it rom-com, but it's a romance as well. So it tries to do a lot. I don't think he does any of those things particularly bad. I think the romance is cool. Mm. I think the actions is okay. I think the thriller aspect and the mystery behind it are decent as well. I feel like it was a good and a somewhat ambitious film, but it's also very minimalistic, because the film is mainly just about these two characters. We don't get much about the outside world that much, which is fine.
Would you have liked to have known a bit more though?
Not really. It wouldn't really made a difference.
Okay.
Because everything that was happening within the gorge was what needed to happen for us to get to know these characters and for us to push the story along. It's an action film. Sometimes with action films, it's okay just to be in that one setting.
Yeah.
Because what pushes it forward is the action rather than anything else. I think it was a cool film.
Mm.
I think the idea was really good, brilliant even. It's kind of hard for me to critique it, because there's not much that I feel like they've done bad, but there's also not much that there's not really anything that was wild about it.
I think the best way to put it is it's good for streaming.
It's a really good streaming film. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a really good streaming film.
So someone in that boardroom watched that film, they probably thought, take it to the cinema, and someone said, nah. And that person was right.
I think if I watched in the cinema,
you'd be a lot.
I would have disliked it.
Yeah, fair.
If I watched in the cinema, I think I might have disliked it.
Yeah.
Because it's like literally right on the edge of something that I would like and something that I would dislike.
Mm.
It's literally just like straight five right down the middle.
Ah.
Like, and not in a bad way. It's just like if somebody tells me they really like this film, I get it. If someone tells me they really dislike the film, I get it. For me, I'm really down the middle with this film. It's decent. Like, it's actually decent.
It gave me the impression of, like, do you remember that one time where, like, the films were just kind of like, you know, Maze Runner, Divergent, one of these things, right? Not films that I'm particularly great fans of, but, like, there are kind of like these people who don't like it and then there are, like, huge fans of it as well. So it was just giving me that vibe. And I was just like, is the gorge, I guess, I don't know, it feels like it sounds similar to that ilk.
It's forgettable.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's literally right down the middle.
Yeah.
I think the best things about it was Miles and Anya.
Yeah.
And I would say Miles is ready to step into his action man bag.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we need a new Tom Cruise, man. It's getting along. I think someone to take up the mantle.
But hasn't he said he's sort of willing to step back from the action films after sort of Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 2?
Yeah, but I mean, as in...
What's the name so long?
Person.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I realised as I was saying that, like, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 2, very long. Go on, say again.
Because you've got Mission Impossible 8, innit?
Isn't it
9 that's coming?
So, is the full name not Mission Impossible 8, Dead Reckoning Part 2? Okay.
They stopped that a long time ago.
Oh, okay, ignore me there.
I have no idea.
I think from Protocol, they stopped that.
Can't lie, the last one was really good.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, overall, The Gorge, decent film, man. Like, if you, and again, it's kind of weird for me to how could recommend it, because again, it's just to do a lot of things. Because like I say, if you like thriller, you might like this film. If you like romance, you might like this film. So it's literally right. If you just want to watch something,
To have something on,
I would recommend this film.
Yeah. Okay. Stream and thing.
Yeah.
Ken, one of them days.
It was a fun time.
Interesting reaction.
It was a fun time. It was nothing great. I think anything, you know, black, everyone kind of goes off.
Mm.
The comparisons to Friday is insane. Everyone needs to chill out. Because Friday was an impactful film and it can't be redone.
Mm.
So I think Kiki's amazing. I think that girl
star,
so
she doesn't get her flowers and get me.
Yeah. Fun too, I think. Like she's, I feel like
I think
she's
recently, yeah.
Get,
I think recently, but I don't know if that's off the back of the drama.
Yeah, I don't think it's a necessary back of her acting.
Yeah, so I think it's the drama.
It's more character. It's,
yeah, yeah, it's more personality. She's a great personality, but hey, a win's a win. Yeah. A win's a win, bro. We got to take him somewhere.
I was going to say, that's pretty much it. From what I'm seeing is everyone's like buying more into her personality than they are actually her like roles.
Yeah,
everything I'm seeing her in, I'm like, yo, she's actually so cold.
Yeah. She's cold, because man.
Because her in Nope.
Oh, that's the one I was going to say. In Nope.
The best thing. Yeah.
She's the best partner.
Your best partner.
And that says a lot because Danny Kaluuya is an amazing actor.
Really good actor.
But yeah.
He's also a Law and Order sort of alumni.
Yeah. Bro, all of them are.
Yeah, now that I think about it, yeah, Timothy Chalamet, I remember that one.
Carmen Domingo. It's a long list, man. It's actually a longer list than I even imagined.
Yeah.
So yeah, one of the.
You could see she was a difference in that film.
Oh, so
whoever she was on scene with, you could tell who the actress was. SZA was all right. Nothing special. For her debut, it was okay in it, but should be forgotten quickly.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed when I heard the reasons why they had her. Like, I remember Issa Rae mentioned that, oh, yeah, we had Kiki was already like locked in for the role. We had to find somebody else, and the executives were like, oh, yeah, we need to get somebody that's big with a huge following to bring in the crowd, didn't it?
That's really interesting considering the conversation recently.
That was kind of disappointing to hear.
That's a whole episode, man.
Yeah.
Was it Ethan Hawke who came out and said that...
Ethan Hawke, there was someone else that said
Didn't his daughter?
His daughter also,
daughter was the one that said it, yeah.
So Maya said it.
No, but he said it as well.
Yeah, obviously you say it as well, yeah.
Yes.
There's someone else as well that's not in the family. I saw it as well.
They recently said that the studios are sort of there are some executives who are deciding actors
based on the following,
sort of social media following.
That's crazy.
That is insane to me,
that's
bro.
That's insanity, man.
Listen,
the game's gone.
I'm almost,
game's gone.
I'm almost on 10k, man. What role can I get?
You gotta keep pushing, man.
Supercell season 2, yeah.
Can't hit me up. My eyes can glow as well.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a crazy metric to cast.
No, I'm sure. I am really looking forward to watching the film, though.
One thing I did like about it is, you know, all these social media personalities when they pop up in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I like that because you kind of see their journey. So it's got like Desi Banks in there. It had someone else. Had a few people, Tony Baker. These are like social media. So it's nice to see them
transition. It's nice to see, like as you said, like people who transition from social media nowadays to do acting roles, and you can tell like that's where the lane they want to be in, and then like they just use social media as a stepping stone.
As long as you care about the craft,
As long as you care about the craft,
I don't mind how you get there per se.
Exactly.
Remember King Batch?
Yeah.
So they're like the ones coming up.
King Batch though, like he's been before, you know, he blew off on Vine and whatnot, right? He had his YouTube channel that he was been doing for years, and like I would really be interested to see a directorial debut of him because he's such a good director. Nice. Like before he became the boogeyman of black people.
He's done bad cooneries.
Bad cooneries, which is such a shame because like in terms of like his actual talent and the talent that he does have, like you can even see it even when he was doing his fucking cooneries, the production quality and the storytelling behind it is like, fuck, if only you didn't put your energy into destroying the black community.
Is he blacklisted or something?
No, is he?
I haven't seen anything from him.
I think it's just one of those things when the transition went from Vine to TikTok, we lost like quite a few.
Yeah.
No, but by the
time he's putting TikTok his money in Zeus Network, I guess he's still continuing to destroy the black community. Like, because he's like an investor in there and stuff like that.
Before TikTok came out, he was on Bella Thorne.
Yeah, that's the last time I saw him in the film.
Maybe actually.
That's what I'm thinking about. Like,
didn't you see him in that Netflix series about trainers? Can't remember the name.
I haven't seen him.
No clue.
None of you heard.
No clue. No. I'll be real. Like, I mean, kind of like after Vine, I kind of checked out, but his talent is there. And
that's where Desi and them coming from. So it was good to see them in the film.
Who are you taking to watch one of them days with, guys? I feel like that film will be a proper date night type of cinema.
How do I answer this? I need to check if I've got a plus one.
Interesting.
Have you got?
You've always got a plus one. You took a book.
But I need to check.
Check what? Check if you got a plus one or who will be your plus one?
Mm. He's behaving himself. Yeah.
If.
Mm. If. Okay.
If.
Okay. And who would you take?
We'll talk.
Okay.
I was going to say a name that you would have laughed at.
I think I know what you're talking about.
It would have been one of yours.
Whoa.
Are
you sharing, yeah?
No, like that. As in, I would have banned him and said, oh, one of his.
Yeah.
Really?
Kids, you might have to bleep this. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
He can bleep it out.
He just... what's her name? She, that BET show.
Bam.
Look at him.
Eyes lit up.
No, you'd win, man. I ain't got no stocks in there, man. You'd win. So yeah, I'll go again. I'll be brief with mine because I want to ask you two about a show that I know you've both watched. Watched Running Point. So this series came up on like. I was just checking which shows are coming out. I read some reviews on it on the day it came out. And I don't normally do that, but I just thought, let me just see if it's worth my time. And people were like really negative on the series. Like critics were anyway, journalists. So I was kind of like, but let me dive into it. I fucking really enjoyed the series, man. Nice. It's an easy watch.
What's it about, sorry?
It's loosely based on the LA Lakers. It follows a Los Angeles executive called Isla Gordon, played by Kate Hudson.
Never, baby.
Who, Kate?
Yeah, mum, famous.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure she is.
And she's been thrust into a position of the owner of the franchise. They're called the Los Angeles Waves, loosely based on the Lakers.
Yeah.
Her character is loosely based on Jeannie Buss, the current owner of the Lakers. And it sort of follows her trials and tribulations of being an owner, being a woman in the space, the difficulties of having sort of brothers who don't have the belief in you that you can do the job. It's created by Mindy Kaling, who's obviously in The Office, Manny's favourite show of all time.
Okay.
And you can see...
That's always an added caveat. As soon as I hear Mindy Kaling, it's a caveat.
No, Mindy, so even her show was...
She's a good writer, man. Mm. She's a very good writer.
But Jace, you don't agree?
No. She... bit of a...
Are we thinking about the same thing? Something
about brown girls and white men?
Yeah.
Because she is a good writer in the sense that, like, I think she... has got a great sense for kind of like story writing, and I think like her comedic timing, especially her comedy when she does write comedies and stuff like that, is really, really good. But
she's a white man fetish. That's the thing.
Yeah. That's the thing. And the white man fetish. And it's like love who you love type shit, but like, you know, we don't, like, you're forcing it at this point. Do you get what I mean? Like, there are certain times where it doesn't need to be there. And I think that's, for me, like, it ruins a lot of things. Right. But yeah, anyway, bit of a caveat.
No, that's cool.
Cool.
Good series, man. Easy watch. I wouldn't put it in the top tier of sort of drama comedies. You know, like, I wouldn't put it in a... Name a show that you really like that's a comedy drama. It wouldn't put it in an Abbott.
Okay.
But it's easy to watch. Yeah. It's funny.
Sometimes you need that.
Some of the comedy...
Like the episodes?
Every episode's half an hour. There's 10, 10 in total. Some of the jokes are a bit on the nose, but it's like, it's just easy to watch, and I had a really good time. Kate Hudson really puts it all into the role, which I really respect, because sometimes you can see a comedy series and think, I think people have a perception of comedy where it's like, it doesn't require as much effort as like a drama or an action show or an action film, but you know, you can really sense that she really cared about the role and what, I guess, the message that they were trying to portray in terms of, which some people will roll their eyes at, which I think is wrong, but that women can be influential in that sphere. And Jeannie Buss is obviously a great example of that, because the Lakers are a great franchise on in of itself, but someone still has to manage that, right? And obviously Isla is based on Jeannie Buss. Funny, easy to watch, good humour, some really interesting characters as well. Dives into the typical social climate of Los Angeles in terms of, you know, different creeds, different beliefs and so on and so forth. Just a decent, easy watch, and I would recommend it. Again, not the best thing in the world, but you know, sometimes you just put it on, and it's like, all right, I enjoyed this.
Yeah,
So obviously, it's a sign, shall I say, that you shouldn't always take.
Not everything has to be
the critics' opinions, you know, because a lot of them are like, it's not funny and da da da. I had a good time.
I'll be real. On the, I saw that Chet Hanks was in it, and I was like, yeah, I'm not watching it.
I get it.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
Not or you are.
I'm not, because for me, I don't know, man. Chet Hanks is
funny. He's a funny guy, though.
But like, it's funny more like social than he is.
He's not. His character isn't actually that funny in the series. He's used as an interesting sort of device around a particular issue his character has, but he's not. His character isn't the funniest. At
okay.
All.
They also got Brenda Song in it as well, so that's the same. My childhood.
Yeah, trust me.
So yeah, it's a good series.
Zack and Cody.
A lie?
A series that finished recently, which a lot of people weren't sure on before it started, was Your Friendly Neighbourhood Spider-Man. We did speak about it last week. Jason, have you finished?
I have not finished it, no. I kind of like dropped it to watch Skeleton Crew, and I was just going to get back into it eventually, but...
Ken has finished. Cool. Ken, you finished it?
Yes. Very good.
You two, I haven't finished it.
Oh, yeah,
I've only seen episode 3.
I enjoyed it. I struggled with the animation, but they...
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah, okay. I think I haven't seen anyone say the animation is good. It's only in certain parts where you can see, all right, a lot of the budget came into these. So it's usually the fight scenes.
Yeah.
Animation is smooth. So, like, I don't know if you've seen the fight with Daredevil.
I have seen the fight with Daredevil, yeah.
Animation's
smooth as hell. Yeah, yeah. That is really good. Yeah. It's stops and starts are kind of like with the animation, which is what it is, I guess.
We need consistency.
Yeah, true.
I hated the whole, we're not part of the MCU, but we keep referencing the MCU. Make up your mind. Are you MCU or not? Because it felt like just a tool to draw people in, but has nothing to do with the story because it's a different world.
It's a bit insane though, because like Spider-Man in itself like does not need any sort of kind of like
it doesn't
staying power.
It doesn't,
or like advertising like oh yeah, we're part of the MCU. It's just okay.
Yeah,
interesting.
I liked the different aspects. Like it's a totally different universe, and they did try new things. Norman Osborn's black. Harry's also black. He's a socialite. They're not best friends. Loads of crossovers. The Easter eggs is plenty. I love that about it. And really good finale. Really.
Okay. Common Domingo voice acting incredible.
Yeah,
that's what he's just.
He was good. It was good.
No, in terms of him, I think he's incredible.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think he's just a really, really talented actor as a whole, and can do it all. Can do some of the villainy dark roles, which I think he's taken on quite a lot in the last few years. But can also play like his character in Sing Sing. You know, he can diversify himself, and I really enjoy. From what I've heard so far, anyway, or watched from the series, I really enjoyed his voice acting. Jason, art style. Did you like the art style though? Because art style and animation aren't the same.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of cel shaded.
You're not.
Oh, I like it in games, but not in TV shows. I'm way past it now.
Fair enough. Give me anything cel shaded. I'm there. I love cel shading. I feel like it gives it a timeless feel. Mm. Like in my opinion, anyway, we can go back to it within 10 years time and not feel like we're missing anything out. Mm. The only thing that is holding it back would be the animation. Mm. But cel shading is just an easy way to draw in, especially like most colors are super vibrant as well, and it's just like. Like just a good show to watch at any point without feeling the loss of kind of like technical quality, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I think it's so far so good. I need to finish it up, which I'm looking forward to doing. Manny.
Yes.
Updates. What have you been watching, pal? Other than Severance, I know you do have a life beyond Severance.
Yeah,
tell us more about it.
I don't think I spoke about it last time, but I watched Shrinking. Fairly
yes, well compelled.
Season 2, because obviously I watched season 1.
Oh, season 2.
Because I watched season 1. I was early adopter of Shrinking, but I didn't want a season 2 because I feel like season 1 wrapped up everything fine. Like I thought like the arcs were done, everything was done. I don't know why we needed a season 2. But boy, oh boy, was I wrong. Season 2 was like, I really enjoyed it. I really did appreciate how they explored grief in season 2, and also forgiveness, not only forgiving other people, but also forgiving yourself. I feel like that's like really important things throughout the show, and it did hit me like quite often watching each of the episodes, and especially performances from Jason Segel, Harrison Ford, but most importantly,
I know you're gonna say, go on,
I believe she's the sexiest woman to have ever graced this planet, Jessica Williams.
Really interesting,
brother.
I can't remember who it is.
Jessica Williams, she's... have you watched Love Life?
No.
She's in... what's the...
old school Jessica Williams, yeah?
Not old school. No, no. She's like early 30s. What's the...
Checking.
What's the no. Harry Potter spin-off? The Fantastic Beasts?
Fantastic Beasts.
Oh,
she's in there too. Okay. But because she's... Yeah, she's just not a... She's not a good woman. I think that's what it is. Every time I've seen her act, I can just tell you are not a good woman. And I don't know why.
You can fix her.
It just does. I don't want to fix her. Funny, ruin my life. Ruin me. But yeah, she's not a good woman like, at all. At all. But
season two, what did you enjoy most compared to season one, which you said you really enjoyed?
I think it's two seasons.
Just real quick, actually, because I've never seen the show. What is it about?
So Shrinking is about mainly about Jason Segel's character. I can't remember his name in the show. It'll come to me in a second. Or Kiswood. but he is a therapist that recently lost his wife. I think he lost her like 2-3 years prior to that. But then he has a relapse and he goes through... No, actually, like during the whole year, it was just really bad. And them two had a daughter together. Mm. And he wasn't really looking after the daughter the way he should have been. He wasn't really being the father that he was meant to be. He started having like hookers come round. We start the season of him being a pool with prostitutes.
Oh, wow.
Just like... There chilling while he has a daughter, and the daughter sees all that. He's like, bro, then what the hell are you doing? Yeah, and obviously, season one is more so repairing the relationship that he has with his daughter and also trying to be the therapist that he needs to be for his clients. Mm-hmm. He goes above and aboard, above and beyond with his clients in a way that's not necessarily professional. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting the type of dynamics and relationships that creates. His wife was killed in a car crash by a drunk driver. In season two, we get introduced to this character right at the beginning, and I think like one of the main themes throughout season two is the exploration of grief and the exploration of forgiveness. Again, not just forgiveness for other people, but also forgiving yourself and allowing yourself to have that space to be vulnerable, to be like, I'm not okay, I need to sort this out. And that's something that Jason's character didn't really tackle in season one,
because he was dealing with his daughter.
He's dealing with his daughter. He's dealing with my guy that was
his patient.
Yeah, his patient.
That relationship was so funny.
That was also in Nickel Boys. He's also in Nickel Boys. He plays Griffin Nickel Boys. Mm. I can't remember his name. But yeah, he just dealing.
Luke Tenney, is he about?
No, not Luke Tenney. Who's Jason Segel's
character? Oh no, I thought it was the person that
hit. Oh, Luke Tenney, yeah.
Jason's character is Jimmy Led.
Jimmy, thank you. He was dealing with repairing his relationship with his daughter, and also trying to make sure that his clients were okay. He spent a bit too much time with other people, and there's also something interesting that happened in season two. This is a bit of a spoiler. So his daughter kind of forgives the person that killed her mom. But the dad is never able to let it go, and she's a bit disappointed because you are a person that's always looking the best in people, always giving people grace, and you're also a therapist, and this is what you do as a job. But this one person, and I get it that you're hurt, but you also need to find it within yourself to be able to let this hurt go, so you are able to move on, and he's able to move on. So that whole season, like, battled with that quite a lot, and I think they did that brilliantly. Looking into that, and not even Harrison Ford's character also being able to be vulnerable and be able to let go of things. I just think they explore...
especially as it's Harrison Ford who's playing that role.
He's playing himself. He's playing himself. It was really good writing, because it's got Goldstein, I believe.
Brett Goldstein,
thank you. He's also obviously, he's a writer in Shrinking, also a writer in Ted Lasso. And he also plays Roy Kent, thank you. Roy Kent in Ted Lasso. And he's the person that kills Jimmy's wife, but his acting is really good in this film as well. In the show as well. But the writing is better this season than it was season one. The exploration of the different themes, I really, really did appreciate it. And I think that hit a lot of those themes in the net.
Still balance the comedy as well with it?
The comedy. I forgot that it's a comedy as well. That is the main part. And I think that's what Jessica Williams' character does the best at. There's a scene where Sean, the guy that ends up living with Jimmy, that is one of his patients, is a black guy. And Jessica is the only other black person in the show, like in the main cast. He ends up in hospital and he has those, you know when you're drugged up and you start saying shit?
Mm.
So Jessica, Jimmy and all these other people come. Everybody else is white. Man's laying in the bed. He's like, if it's not my favorite band, it says something around with lines of Jessica and the White Guys or something like that. It was just hilarious.
I have a feeling she might have written that. I don't know why.
But yeah, and they definitely have like black writers black because, writers. And I think
you can tell when
you can tell, bro. I think they do such a good job of that. But yeah, they're mixing the comedy really well, and even like the neighbor and the issues that she had with her husband. It's like so well written. I really fuck.
Quite a small series though, in terms of its world and characters. And
it's very contained within that group of family. Facts. It's like it's very much like a sitcom in that aspect.
Mm.
Like it's very contained within the group that you're viewing. But this is definitely a bit more bigger than that. But yeah, really, really enjoy it.
Okay.
Before we wrap up, Ken, I've got a task for you. For our audience, anything you've been watching lately? Film TV. That is like a big recommendation from you. It could be something we discussed already, or it could be something we haven't. It could be something old, something new. What would you recommend to our audience to dive into as a film or a TV show?
Paradise.
Tell us more about Paradise.
I need to get onto Paradise.
Paradise.
From your perspective.
The world's gone to shit, and they have built this town in a mountain. I think they chose about 25,000 people. I think that's the number, to go live in this town. So the world's not habitable anymore. But some people are born in this town, so they don't know about the outside world. Then there's this whole mystery and thriller about the world is habitable, and they're killing off people that know about it and trying to hide all the truth. And yeah, it goes off. Brilliant show. Disney Plus.
It's interesting. I'm enjoying. I think
that's
the
Sterling K. Brown one.
Yeah,
that is not what I got from that show. But cool, all right, fair enough.
He's having a hell of a run. Couple of weeks, yeah.
Invincible and in Paradise.
Season 2 has already been confirmed for Paradise on Hulu, Disney Plus. Mm. And yeah, I just think it's really cool. Recently, we've seen just a spate of black actors, mostly male, in like lead roles. We saw Aldis Hodge last year in. Oh, what's the series? Alex Cross. Which I wasn't a huge fan of. I didn't love the series at all. But
he's cool.
But he was good in it for sure. Yeah. Obviously, Anthony Mackie as the lead as Captain America of Brave New World, which I think he did a good job in. And Sterling K. Brown, huh?
Rampier? Did you mention already?
That's Mufasa. Yeah. Obviously, last year he had Rebel Ridge. Really good. And obviously, Mufasa, the film as well. Mm. And then we got Sterling K. Brown, man, who I think is very much deserving of a lead role. I don't know if I mentioned it here before we wrap up, but he said he didn't feel ready for lead roles prior to this.
Absolutely.
He used to like read the calling cards, and he said, I just didn't feel like my time. Mm. But Paradise felt like the right show for him to be a lead. And James Marsden made a great joke. He was like, so you chose the show that I'm on for you to be the lead? And James Marsden's really good.
He's
in this
really
role.
Good. Yeah. He's really good, okay. Man.
And I think
he's proper seasoned.
Good actor, yeah.
I think them two's acting.
The chemistry is the best.
Is my favourite part of the show.
Yeah, and I like the relationship with the children as well.
Yeah. The door has been doing well as well.
He's just killing it, man.
Yeah. How do you feel about announcements like that? So you see Sterling K. Brown announces
season two,
which clearly he's not going to die in this. How do you feel about announcements like that?
You think it's weird?
But I didn't.
I feel like they shouldn't let characters announce season so we can keep the mystery of.
Okay.
I get you. I just didn't think he would die anyway. But I do get where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I do get your point. Paradise is definitely good, though. If you haven't checked it out, make sure to do so. It's on Disney Plus. I think there's 7 episodes out right now. People are raving about Ep 7. They're saying it's like the best.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's good. I don't think it's like...
Week for Ep 7.
I think it's the best episode of season so far.
See, now I sound negative because I'm like, when people are saying... A lot of people are like, you need to watch it. So when I watched it, maybe that's the issue.
Because the other people...
Because people were like...
Yeah, that does have an effect.
Make sure you watch it. And I watched it and I was like, I really enjoyed it. I felt the tension. I felt the drama, the stakes. The flashbacks were great. But you could have like... Yeah, I didn't feel it like that. But it's probably the best of the season. For sure. Ken, thank you for joining us today. This was like a bit of a wrap up of what we've watched in the last 2 weeks, which we tend to do quite often. I think these are some of our fun episodes though, because we all just get to recommend things to each other and so on and so forth. To our listeners and viewers as well, make sure that you give these shows a try. Let us know how you feel about them. Make sure you drop us replies in sort of the comments on TikTok, Post Credit Scene Podcast.
Yeah, what to watch as well.
Recommendations are always welcome. Recommendations are always welcome.
We actually got a comment for somebody.
Yellow Jacket.
Yeah, and you, yes. Was it you that replied? Someone replied saying Basolo was it you?
She said
that's interesting.
Do you know why? Because she said that.
You know our cat. You know our people on the
said
show.
That she was that she was watching it. So I was like, all right, cool. I thought she was going to move that.
So you just slapped her on the bare pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we'll get her back in some point.
Yeah, because that guy had a comment again. But like, where is she?
No, she's a fan of the series. It's something I need to dive into. Fair, but the problem is, I need to dive into everything.
Dive into everything. There's certain.
Golly.
And we can't. Shows, not we enough can't. Time in the day, man.
We can't.
That's why it's hard to go back and watch a show that's like already been out, man.
Oh, I still bang out rewatches, but not too much.
I can't rewatch anything.
Really? I've been. Yeah, that's his back.
Oh, really?
It's great background TV as well.
What? When you rewatch
that
background
stuff.
Background.
I rewatched Daredevil recently.
I'm on it now. I just finished season one.
Best season.
Yeah, well.
No, season three is still my favorite.
This guy changes
season
every
three,
week.
Season three. One of the best origin stories for a character, for sure. But yeah, we're a PCS podcast. Make sure you check us out on our YouTube as well. Kids and Horse have been working hard on that one, doing a really, really good job. I think we're close to 1,000 subscribers, shall I say. Mm-hmm. So make sure to subscribe on the YouTube, TikTok, Post Credit Scene Podcast, Instagram, PCS Podcast as well. Ken, plug your socials. Tell us where they can find you, because you are Mr. Reviews. You are the man. Tell us about your reviews and maybe a quick spill into your journey in terms of how you got to here.
My journey started on WhatsApp. I'd watch a show or a TV show, go to the group chat and say, hey, I just watched this. I'd say one, two things about it and they'll be like, oh yeah, cool. After a few weeks, they were like, look, go get an Instagram and you're
jarring.
But they did it in a nice way. Like, yeah. I think you'd be good on Instagram, you know. It's like, cool. Went to Instagram, started doing posts. Then I started running out of characters on Instagram because I had a lot more to talk about. And then before you know it, I had a friend building me a website out of nowhere for my birthday. And then, boom, took off from there. Running it on the website and then eventually started up a YouTube. Then, yeah, it's been gone off. So, nice. KenKenReviews.com.
Come on.
At KenKenReviews, YouTube, mm-hmm. TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, WhatsApp. I'll message you on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Send the number, I'll message you on WhatsApp.
Take it back to the roots.
Yeah, come on.
But, Mr. Yeah. Watch It So You Don't Have To.
Indeed.
And that's the PCS podcast over and out, guys. Thank you for another great episode.
Let's go.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene podcast.